So Nancy and I are staying at this beautiful historic B&B. It's called Butker Mansion Bed and Breakfast of Old Town Albuquerque. And literally, it is right at the crossroads of right where you enter Old Town, and we are looking at historic Route 66 right now from our window.
Cool.
It's amazing. Nancy is in the Route 66 room, and she's got photos of men bending over cars above her bed. I'm just saying.
It's a pretty cool.
This is such a cool B&B. It is very historic and very part of this history of Albuquerque. And it's got a beautiful garden, even though it's part of Old Town. I think this is so fascinating. Our innkeepers are Steve and Kathy Hyatt, and I'm going to bring Steve on first. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing fine, and you?
No, we're doing good. I mean, we just saw each other, didn't we? Just around the corner.
Down
the stairs. And Kathy, how are you doing? I just saw you in the garden.
Yeah,
how are you doing?
I am fine. I'm fine. I'm in a different room now.
Oh, okay. Everyone's around. You know, and I know the garden, and I want to say this because, you know, when you're in an old town or a city, a lot of times you don't think you're going to see a garden. And the first thing I just like, go through the gate, and you see the mansion. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a pink lady, not necessarily Victorian,
mm-hmm.
but a pink lady. And you've got this garden, and it's a certified National Wildlife Federation certified backyard habitat, which is important.
We love that.
You're taking care of your native species, bringing in native plants, bringing in the birds, creating shelter, water, all those five things, right, for the birds and wildlife. And the birds, Nancy and I got a few minutes outside. We had a little bit of wine because we're like, the sun is shining, the birds were out,
mm-hmm.
and you have a lot of different birds in your backyard from what you've done. So I just want to say thank you for doing it because it's important that people realize that in city areas that you can do this and it's actually more important and so that we don't become a dead zone, literally.
Right.
And as a B&B, you're sharing that with your guests, which is important. Maybe they'll go and do it. So what was your inspiration to do it? Have you always gardened?
Yes, I have. Gardening is something that you learn over time, and usually you learn it the hard way. So
yeah.
I read that gardening is the art of moving things around.
You
plant plants, and then you realize that they don't quite like it there, and you move them someplace else until you find out where they do like it. But gardening here is a challenge, of course. We are at 5,000 feet, so we get four seasons, and it's pretty dry here. But also we have these massive Siberian elm trees, and they're over 100 years old. So we have a lot of shade in our yard. So there's a lot of flowers and things that we kind of can't have because they want full sun, and we have a lot of shade in our yard. On the other hand, we've got all kinds of vines and banks, roses, and honeysuckle and all that. And I just realized yesterday that the hummingbirds will be coming back within about 3 weeks. They migrate and they stay here all summer. So we'll have hummingbirds buzzing around the yard all summer.
Cool.
In addition to the yard, the birds that we have
in your yard. I know you have this whole other area with fountains
in the
yard here. And I just like breakfast, wine time in your garden. It's like you just want to, and it's so cool because you can park and you can walk to Old Town. It's like this perfect setting to me. When you've been driving to get somewhere and park your car, and then you're just at this immediate at ease. And Nancy likes it when I get to that at ease part because I yell at drivers.
Really?
Yeah,
so when you get to a garden, all of a sudden I was like, oh, okay, I'm calm now. There's a garden, and we can walk, and it's a beautiful bed and breakfast. Mm-hmm. Your rooms are beautiful and themed.
Mm-hmm.
And themed, from what I'm seeing, themed according to Albuquerque. I mean, I'm in the Tinsley room, and she likes gardens. She's Mrs. Tinsley. I mean, she's a gardener, right? And she likes dahlias, from what I see in the photos.
Yes, Carrie Tingley was.
Tingler, sorry.
Clyde Tingley was the mayor of Albuquerque for a number of years, and then he was his last gig was governor. And they had quite a garden at the governor's mansion, and she grew dahlias the size of dinner plates. So, yeah, she was quite a gardener.
Dahlias are my favorite flower. I know. We used, every time we had a home where we didn't travel all the time, mm-hmm. we grew dahlias, and they just mm-hmm. did well everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the favorite.
And the room, I'm in, and I feel like I'm in her room, and I know it's for both of them, but it overlooks the garden and Route 66, so I feel like I got the best of both worlds. I know, Nancy, mm-hmm. does, you have that, too. You're in the Route 66 room, which is super cool.
I have
cool.
a wagon.
Got this, she has a red wagon, a little red flyer.
Yep.
I love the visual flyer. Again, it's red wagon here today.
I know.
Steve, I want to go over to you in regards. It is. It's so cool. How, I mean, who knew that this would happen? But, Steve, what brought you and Kathy to Albuquerque? Have you always been here? What led you to open a B&B? I mean, was this a B&B before you?
Well, I'm actually
That's
from
20 questions in one.
Yeah.
I know. So I'll take them kind of in order.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm actually from New Mexico. I'm from Santa Fe.
And
Kathy and I met when we were both in the service and got married and everything. But the whole thing about the B&B is the – for our 10th wedding anniversary, we spent the night at a bed and breakfast in New Hampshire and fell in love with the whole idea. And we went away from that saying, we want to do that someday. And that someday came around 2004 when we decided that we wanted to do this, and we started looking. And we ended up in Albuquerque. My parents were here. It just made sense for us to be here, and this property was for sale. And we went ahead and took it.
Nice.
Wow. Beautiful.
And so you fell in love with the idea. And careers before that, because you both are good at this. I know you've been doing this for a while now, right? Since 2012? Am I right? Is it 2012?
2004.
Wow.
4. Yeah.
Wow. Even a little wine on the patio will do. But,
wow.
Yeah, there you go. By training, I'm a software engineer.
Oh wow. People are going to call you now.
Yeah, well, then you should have fixed this for me about let's go live at the right time and sign them.
Yeah, really.
Hey, I gave you great internet, huh?
Yes, you did. You did. You gave us great internet. You absolutely did. And then for you, Kathy, what's your background to come into being in the B&B world?
I have been a legal assistant and an admin assistant in high tech back and forth for a number of years. And then, most recently I was a legal assistant before this. So it was really helpful. I mean, I knew how to read contracts and documents.
Yeah.
And,
detail.
All that sort of stuff.
Attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy, we've been doing all this, B&B travel, and we just find the history of the place is so important. And also the independent, hotelier, whether it's a B&B or a historic inn, it's very important that we really frequent places like here, because to me it's like there's this historic home. So someone may own a historic home. That's great. And renovate it and take care of it. That's fantastic. Because we went through this thing in this country where we started knocking down historic buildings. And you've got to think about who built these places. And why and how, and even if it's a new construction, there's a passion that went behind all of this. And I think it's so important when people come in and say, you know what, I'm going to open the doors to the public to come and stay here. I think you're carrying on a legacy of the history of the place with buildings like this. Kathy, I know that you've dug into the history of this house. Tell us about the first family that built this. Who were they?
Charles Boddicker actually was, his parents were German. They came from Germany, and he was born in New York City. They had, a meat market in Rutherford, New Jersey, which is basically right across the river from New York City. And he came here he started showing up around 1893 or so in New Mexico and came to Albuquerque. 1897, he went to work for Tom Post, who owned the hotel, and it was the stagecoach stop and all that in Old Town. And he met and married Tom Post's stepdaughter, Miguela. And he married very well. So when Tom Post died, Miguela inherited all of her stepfather's property and everything. And Charles Bodker, he was sort of an entrepreneur, and he turned the that hotel into the Sunnyside, which even into the 1940s and all that, people remember the Sunnyside. And he also inherited some mining interests, which is where they actually made their money. They one of their mines hit it pretty well in about 1908, 1909, and that's when they built this house. His parents had come out from New Jersey for a visit and bought the property intending to build a house here, went back to New Jersey, and then his father died. And so that never happened. So, of course, when his father died, Charles Bodker inherited the property and built this house. Now, the site was the original Manuel Armijo house, and it was at one time considered to be the grandest house in Albuquerque. But
wow.
It dated from the really, really early 1800s, I'm sure. And so by the time the Bodker family purchased it, it was in really, really bad shape. So it was torn down, and this house was built in 1912. And he spared no expense. It was the first house in Old Town to have gas lighting. It's got pressed tin ceilings, hardwood floors. And they wanted it to look like the house is being built back east, whatever was the style back east. It's an American, it's called American Four Square. So it's a two-story square house built around a central staircase. And so even though it's painted pink by a previous owner, it's not Victorian at all. And it's just a really, it's an amazing house. But then Charles Bodker, died. I believe he came out here because he had tuberculosis. And he died when he was only 42 in 1914. Mm-hmm. And then the family ran into the boarding house. So then we get into the whole history of Machine Gun Kelly and his gang stayed here. Elvis Presley stayed here. Frank Sinatra sang at a wedding here in the yard. Janis Joplin stayed here.
What? You said Janis? You said Janis.
Janis Joplin.
Listen, you know, I thought Catherine Kelly, Machine Gun Kelly, that was cool. You know, our friend wrote, the biography of Catherine Kelly, and she was a little masterminder of crime. And she was so good to people, too, even though she shot others. But then you thought, Elvis, this is super cool, Frank Sinatra, but you just said Janis. Yeah. What? Listen, no.
Janis Joplin.
She was in my room.
Yeah.
Steve, as we said, she...
Absolutely.
Elvis
Absolutely.
Was in my room, too.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, okay.
Too. Yeah.
Well, I think there's something because of Route 66 and that whole... You know, that era was just before Janis, right? But then there was, let's travel out to the desert, let's do all these things, and you're off of a main, you're in a main artery, basically, of transport across the country. So why wouldn't it bring all the stars in here, you know?
Right.
And you have neon. Mm-hmm. You have neon lights. So
and the stars always had to hide, you know, when... Things got so overwhelming. They always kind of picked desert, kind of high desert places where they still wanted their service. They wanted everything to be just like they wanted it, but they wanted to hide out. And so they picked kind of places like this.
So was Janis in the boarding house or?
Yeah, because the B&B thing came later.
Yeah, we're not clear about that. You know, a boarding house. And you know, being in Old Town, it was not necessarily a boarding house for long-term stays, but, you know, it might have just been overnights as well. I mean, if Elvis stayed here, he was definitely not a long-term boarder. It was just an overnight thing. But being right on Route 66 and right here at Old Town, the location was very convenient for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. It is convenient for us today. I mean, that's the beauty of this. Yeah, 40 is right up there. You're off of Route 66, Old Town's here. I mean, you're close to the Botanical Garden. Yeah.
Right.
Petroglyph National Monument's not far. I mean, this is stay here, and you don't have to make breakfast or go get it. You got good breakfast, and that brings me to Steve. Steve, seriously, good pancakes this morning. We filmed it. You'll see the recipe later.
Oh, that's so cool.
This blue cornmeal pancakes. the only thing is I couldn't finish it all. And the, listen, I've never had a baked pancake before. I mean, not pancake, the pineapple. The pineapple. I've
that
never had that
really
before.
Good.
That was really good. I mean, it was
that's
a wonderful breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we needed that today. We'd go out and do all the hiking and, you know, gardens
got
and everything. And that's something I want to say about staying in bed and breakfast. You know, the breakfast is special. It's really part of the stay. And everybody's different. Each bed and breakfast, some are like, you know, classic gourmet, and some are like, no, you're going to have the hearty breakfast. Everybody does what they want. It's in, like, you know, you're staying, right, Steve, in someone's home. You know, that's the thing.
That's correct.
And you, but the breakfast is so big because you know everyone's going off exploring that day. And you're carrying, you're giving them sustenance to explore. So I think I always look at bed and breakfast as, you're like a mini visitor bureau too, because it's like, hey, I'm going to tell you what you want. You have conversations.
Absolutely.
You point us to the right places. There's something special about this. And I know that, you know, you've been on a lot of boards about bed and breakfast and tourism, but there is something important that we should say about that. The breakfast is, you know, it's handmade, homemade. It is special, the connection between the B&B owners, innkeepers. There is something special to be said for this, what you guys do, really.
There is. There is. And the and you're right. Every owner or bed and breakfast innkeeper does it differently. We're all unique. And our breakfasts are all unique. You're not going to see the same type of breakfast at every bed and breakfast. Even within New Mexico, you might get blue corn pancakes, but you might get a breakfast burrito somewhere else. You won't get it here, but you'll get it somewhere else because I do other things with green chili. And but it's that is the great thing about it. It's not cookie cutter at all, and you can't expect it to be cookie cutter. And we take great pride in this all over the country with other innkeepers. I know I talk to a lot of innkeepers all over the country about breakfasts and about menus and about food and get ideas. We bat ideas around all the time about what to do and how to do it better. So it really is a collaborative effort amongst all of us. But it is something
very
that
generous.
I do have to do.
Yeah. Innkeepers are really generous about sharing with each other. Recipes, knowledge, solving problems, whatever it is. There's always somebody out there that you can say, you know, I'm looking for a new recipe. What do you got? Or I have a problem. Can you help me solve it? So they're very generous with other innkeepers that way.
Oh, you're absolutely
that's
right.
Cool.
You know, I want to say that Steve and Kathy, the Bogner Mansion is going to be part of this special publication. We're creating a digital publication like our magazines, Bed and Breakfast Across America. It's actually going to be the first, I don't even think we said this on the show yet, but we've started a net project as part of our Love Your Parks tour. You know, the whole thing with parks is to connect the parks with the community and to the visitors. And so everybody understands the historic sites, the natural beauty, keeping, you know, the integrity, sense of place that we talked about at the beginning of the show, which Albuquerque certainly has. But the bed and breakfast, we started traveling over the last year. We've done over 25. I know I can't count anymore right now. But we realized it was more than tourism. It's about these stories, the stories like Kathy's just saying about who built this house, you know, all the amazing people that have stayed here. And it's about now, about people coming here, and they're keeping this history alive with what they're doing. So they're going to be part of this. And, you know, going around and staying in all these bed and breakfasts, which are different than what bed and breakfasts were like 20 years ago and even 10 years ago. It's a different experience. And Wi-Fi, like Steve, you're right, the Internet's better, way better now. And not just here, I mean, just across the board. But innkeepers will spend time with you, pointing you to the right direction. If you need something, if you need a table in your room, they'll help you. If you whatever, they will. This is just, it's like family, and yet you can still have your privacy. But we've seen the innkeepers, what you were saying, Kathy, work together, and all of them have told stories with us about how they got started. One was saying, I didn't know how to do Eggs Benedict, and the original innkeeper would come up and give her the pan, the right pan to do the right thing and teach her Eggs Benedict. And Our friend Jerry told us, you know, the one lady that she knew as an innkeeper came back and she told her how to run it, who to work with and how to do it, how to, you know, do check-ins better. And everybody works together and there's associations for it. But through that, I think that's something that speaks volumes of how we can all work better in our businesses too, is by working together instead of competing, but working together, because it's about being individual and original, and that's why you can do it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And staying in bed and breakfast, they're all different, and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So what else can you do? I mean, I think bed and breakfast industry has been the salvation of a lot of big old historic homes, because what do you do if you have a huge historic home that's got 12 bedrooms and what family can afford to have a house that size and maintain it? And they're in some awesome places. So historic homes, churches, and we stayed on a bed and breakfast that was a canal barge boat, and lighthouses and all sorts of warehouses, and people will operate a bed and breakfast in the most unique places. And I just think that's the coolest thing ever.
There's even a bed and breakfast up in Farmington that's in a cave, Pelly Cave.
Mm-hmm.
See, what? Mm-hmm. This is about, mm-hmm. you know how
well,
we've got to
call
about people look like their dogs, not, or people pick dogs that they think look like them, but there's a thing. When you pick
you're
a home.
Get in trouble now.
Nothing, I know. Here comes all those emails, but no, it's cool. Now, when you pick a home, and make no mistakes, these are homes.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a home that has been extended to welcome people in,
mm-hmm.
which is how more homely, home body can you get than welcoming people into your home? And everything, we see the attention to detail, it's number one, that we see in bed and breakfast. Attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing okay? Do you need anything? You can ask for the most. Yeah, and by the way, your cookies are outstanding.
I like cookies.
Yes. But, you know, you can't, it's not, I know we say hospitality industry, and I get that, but it's more than that. Because you're in love with your house. And because you're in love with your house, you want to share it. And that is the epitome of a bed and breakfast.
And that is the amazing thing about all of the different places, all of the different properties, because, you know, your house has to fit who you are.
Exactly.
So if you're an artist and kind of eclectic, and you might really like a great big old warehouse space that's got big walls and lots of space to display art, but you can run a B&B out of it, but, it suits who you are, and it will suit a certain segment of people out there. But the other point that we always try to make is not only to share this great old historic house, and its place in Old Town, but we also want to make sure that people fall in love with Albuquerque as well.
Yeah.
So we want them to love Albuquerque as much as we do.
Yeah.
And so
the house doesn't mean anything without the community. The house is part of the community.
And so we try to point them to the best, you know, how much time do you have, and what's the most essential thing for you to see that's going to help you understand what Albuquerque is all about during the time you have here?
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about your rooms? Because I like, I love my room because there's flowers and history, and I love it. And I got a bird's eye view, and it's cool. Are all your rooms themed? Like Nancy's in the Route 66 one, and suitcases
so
are part
perfect
of,
for me.
This is this beauty, and Steve, we talked about this before too. That it's about the rooms today in the bed and breakfast are not overdone. I want people to know this. And as we travel, we're seeing younger and younger people come in. We've seen so many first-timers that have been breakfast. They're like, dude, and it really doesn't even go by age. It's about an authentic experience. And in a B&B now, I mean, it's just, you're tastefully well done. You know, you have space to move around, yet you have managed to do the decor where you have this sense of place. Oh, this is amazing. So what are the other rooms like? Because during COVID times, you know, I'm not allowed in everybody's room. You know, especially if someone's checked in, right? So, you know, yeah, tell us about the other rooms that we didn't get to stay in. We want dibs on them anyway, but, you know, tell us about the other rooms.
So, you know, this was built as a family home. So the main floor had a formal living room, the kitchen, the dining room, and sort of a family room at the front of the house, which is now the Route 66 suite. And then the bedrooms were upstairs. And when it was converted to a bed and breakfast, and they made the downstairs rooms into guest rooms, the history of the house and all that defines what they are. So the kitchen is now, that's got a railroad theme to it. So when I was doing the research on Charles Bodker and the Bodker family and their place and this place within Old Town and within Albuquerque, I kept running into other people that would have been their contemporaries. And the more research I did, the more I found out these people were important. They were the movers and shakers in Albuquerque at the time, and they were people who really put Albuquerque on the map. So we have the Hazeldine room. Hazeldine was one of the three men that got the railroad to come through Albuquerque, which was a huge deal.
That's big.
And that was a huge thing for Albuquerque. So that's a railroad-themed room, and I've got a little history about him and who he was and what he did. We've got the Franz Huning room. He was one of the other three, and that's a queen room upstairs and has a four-poster canopy bed. And so that's about Franz Huning and all of his. He was quite an entrepreneur and had a number of interests. And I've also ran across a number of historic photos that the Center for Southwest Research at University of New Mexico has amazing historic photographs. And so as I kept running across these same people and finding these photographs, I realized that we had this theme going, and it was more important. It was important for people to understand the history of Albuquerque and how it was such a turning point. When Charles Bodker was here, and so the late 1800s through the early 1900s, we have the Bernard Shandon Rhody room upstairs. Mm-hmm. He was a legislator, and he was important. He was instrumental in New Mexico's statehood in 1912, and he was also important at getting the University of New Mexico located in Albuquerque.
Wow.
So there's a room for him. We have the Erna Ferguson room. She was actually Franz Huning's granddaughter, but she was also college educated, and she was an author and a historian. And that's a sweet little room that was originally a sun porch on the back upstairs of the house. Another room that I am in is called the Edward Buxton Christie room. He was the architect who actually designed this house. And when I was researching him, I found that he was basically the guy who worked with the third president of the University of New Mexico and developed the Pueblo Revival style, which is what you see all over New Mexico now.
That's huge.
Yeah.
This is so cool.
It is huge.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so this is where your, you know, legal expertise comes in history, right? And understanding how to read, because this is the thing. History can be boring to many, but it's about putting it alive. And I think that's part of the beauty of historic B&Bs is that history, it's living history. It's beautiful.
Doing that was made what I really, really started to understand why people like to research history. They follow a trail. And what happened is I was researching the family, and then all of these people sort of satellite around the family and interacting with this family and the importance that they had to Albuquerque. It's like every time I came across something, I was looking for an answer to a question. And every mm-hmm. time I found the answer to a question, I had six more questions.
Yes.
And that's when I realized why people really like researching mm-hmm. history. Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah. Just trying to trace who people were and what they did and where they went
mm-hmm.
And how they interacted with each other. So at Charles Boxer's funeral, I mean, he was kind of a big deal in Old Town in Albuquerque. And when I read his obituary in the paper in 1914, his pallbearers, he had six pallbearers at his funeral, and they were all really important guys in Albuquerque. So that's, you know, when I read that and said, these guys were all important and they all knew each other. They were contemporaries and they all worked together. So that's when it really clicked that the history of this house and its place in Albuquerque and in Old Town was really the one of the most interesting aspects of this whole thing, was just exposing people to the history of Albuquerque and things that people have no idea about.
I love that. There could be meetings that happened in your home. It could be a TV
mm-hmm.
series. There could be. There we go. Yeah, I know. I'm already going there. You know I'm going there.
I know.
I mean, then you could bring in Elvis and Janice and, you know.
Yes.
You know, Machine Gun Kelly, Catherine. I find Catherine
Kelly.
I know.
I mean, have a whole TV series of what
even,
went on.
I know. And, you know, you're kind of in the corner of Route 66, so you got, you know.
Yeah.
And we're going to have some Hollywood history next, too, everyone. But this is fascinating to me, but at the same time, here's this history we're talking about. You may have no interest in the history, and you just really want to have a good night's sleep. And let me tell you, last night, I can't believe, you know, we're in the old town, the city, and I slept like a baby. I was cozy, comfy. How about you, Nancy? Cozy, comfy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to get up.
No, I just, you know, my alarm kept going, like, get up 5. And I'm like, I don't know who you are, alarm. You need to shut. Like, I don't know you. You're not part of my family. Get up. But it was so comfortable. And, you know, in the morning you can hear the bird. Oh, it was magical. Mm-hmm. The shower is so good, too. When you travel,
the rooms
you want
are
a good shower.
Spacious.
Yeah.
You got room.
Good. Yeah, you got room to move around in. But the shower thing is a big deal.
Thank you for the luggage racks.
Oh, yes. Luggage racks are good.
I know.
Luggage racks are
important. This seems to be a new thing where luggage racks are not available in a lot of places. And it is so... I love luggage racks. I'm going to get my own in case. Yes, because we really need them. As travelers, I love luggage racks. I know that sounds really weird, but
we've been around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's put it that way. But I know that sounds bad, right? But you guys, this is a beautiful, beautiful place, and I hope you keep doing this for many, many years because you're doing it well, and it's been a real pleasure staying here. So thanks for putting up with us, because I know, like, you know, we had to film you, Steve. And by the way, Steve, tell everybody about the kittens, because you've got two beautiful cats.
About the kittens.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, we do. We do have two
cats. We can't not talk about them, because they're gonna yell at you right now. They're going to meow.
We have Sox and Gray Cat. They were actually Gray Cat. They were both feral. And Gray Cat was born on the property. And was feral for about 3 years, and then they both decided to rescue us and move in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been that way ever since. And since you're talking about luggage racks, Sox actually has a luggage rack with a suitcase on it that she sleeps on.
Oh,
so
we know where that is.
That's how important
See?
Luggage racks are.
See, I know I like Sox.
I bet.
This is awesome, you guys. This is so great. Please give everybody, I want to make sure I get your website. It's bottger.com, and that's bottger.com. Is that right, Steve?
That's correct. Uh-huh.
Oh, Bottger. We got to say it right. But it used to have an
Bottger,
right? Bottger. Bottger.
Easy.
We'll get it right there. Thank you both so much, and such a pleasure being here. Thank you for joining us.
We're going to go and play some Hollywood history from Steve Schneikert that includes Route 66 just because we're here on Route 66.
Cool.
So everybody stay tuned for that. Thank you so much, guys. We'll see you downstairs.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
thank you.
All right, everybody. Here's some Hollywood history.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway that is best. Get your kicks on Route 66. Easy Rider is a story of two rogue men with choppers on the open road with cocaine in their gas tanks. This 1969 film struck a chord with America in the waning 60s when turmoil from war, poverty, and rioting in the streets caused uproar from the population. Peter Fonda and Dennis Hopper play two misfits who are judged by those around them, and their only whim seems to be for freedom. Following the completion of their successful cocaine deal, they move to living on the road, traveling from L.A. on a cross-country road trip to New Orleans for Mardi Gras, and then to their retirement in Florida, while sleeping in the brush and doing whatever they want with malice or love. Surprisingly, the story also deals with the prejudice exacted from those in the Deep South who find their hair, their clothes, their lifestyle to be against what is right and American. The extent of that hatred runs deep, makes the story more amazing, and makes them caged by adversity and disapproval. Dennis Hopper, along with Dustin Reichert, directed the film. Jack Nicholson and Karen Black co-star. The ultimate surfing adventure, a global spanning quest for the perfect waves. The Endless Summer, 1966, brought to us by filmmaker-narrator Bruce Brown, rides the green room all the way to the wild waters of West Africa, to the shark-filled seas of Australia, the tropical seas of the South Pacific, and beyond. These Southern California surfers have truly designed a life where they are living their dream every day. Now you go through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, and Oklahoma City is mighty pretty. You see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Barstow, San Bernardino, Little Miss Sunshine, 2006. Time to cross the country with the eccentric Hoover family on a hilarious ride in a VW bus to bring their Little Miss Sunshine to her beauty pageant finals in Southern California. It is a good thing this little girl has some serious sunshine. Her family needs every ounce of it, and she spreads it liberally. Directors Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Faris bring the star-studded cast of Abigail Breslin, Steve Carell, Tony Collette, Greg Kinnear, Bryan Cranston, and Oscar winner Alan Arkin brilliantly together for enjoyable movie entertainment. All aboard! Director Wes Anderson's 2007 The Darjeeling Limited takes three American brothers on a family voyage by train to find a reclusive mother in rural India. A smart, funny script and visually stunning backdrop complements perfectly the story of a family on a surprising spiritual quest where tension turns to epic and cathartic bonding. Starring Owen Wilson, Adrian Brody, Jason Schwartzman, and with Bill Murray. You'll never know just how much I love you. You'll never know just how much I care. Martin Scorsese at his directing best with 1974's Alice doesn't live here anymore. After her husband dies, Alice, Oscar winner Ellen Burstyn, and her son Tommy leave their small New Mexico town for California, where Alice hopes to make it as a singer. Money problems force them to settle in Arizona instead, where Alice takes a job as a waitress in a small diner. Well, kiss my grits. She tends to head back out on the road. But her plans change when she begins to fall for a rancher named David, Chris Christopherson. Get your kicks on Route 66. I'm Steve Schneider, and this is Hollywood History as I recall it.
And Route 66 and Chris Christopherson, just for you, Nancy. I know he put
Thank
that
you.
In there just for you.
I know
awesome.
He did.
And we're both looking at it, Route 66 right now. How cool is that?
I know.
It's awesome. It's iconic. And everyone road tripping, look at those routes, man. Try and travel through history. It's so cool to see all the different stops. And even we're doing the Pony Express Trail this year. To do that and try to do the stops and think about what it was like to be a mail carrier on horseback and doing it. I mean, at that time, it's just amazing. It's amazing. But listen, we're going to go to Church Street Cafe, but first we're going to play a song called Adobe Cafe, and this is by Wally Lauder. We met him in Silver City, New Mexico, and this is where he wrote the song. And you can keep up with him at wallylauder.com. He's now in Tucson, Arizona. But Adobe Cafe makes sense, since we're going to Church Street Cafe right after. So take a listen to that, and then after that we're going to close with Chaco, because Chaco is close by, and also very connected to Marie Coleman, who owns Church Street Cafe. So we promised we'd play this, even when we were talking to her. I'm like, we have to play the song Chaco from the Talmud.
Mm-hmm.
So take a listen and enjoy, and thank you for tuning in as well. And, you know, I know this has been one of those live shows and everything goes wrong, but we make it happen. So here it is. We're going to play Adobe Cafe.
In an Adobe Cafe, on the dusty side of town, is a dark-haired girl with eyes of brown. He watches the way she moves around, soft as a butterfly, barely touching the ground. Just a cup of coffee, just a stopper's on the road. She's falling in love with someone. Doesn't he don't know? He wonders about her as a soft hips sway, as she runs her hand through her long dark hair in a casual way. Does she have a man? Stoppers on the road, he's falling in love with someone he doesn't even know. Cafe towns and roads, so the story goes. driving away. He's got miles to go, but she lingers in his thoughts. Up and down that road, maybe someday, when he's back in town, she'll be there with her long dark hair and eyes brown. Just a cup of coffee, just to stop us all.